If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, Brandon and I, we're caught up in a storm of sports. So much sports, too much to handle. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right, Apathetic Enthusiasm, your favorite sports talk podcast.
Brought to you by Rounding the Bases. Rounding the Bases. No episode since 2022.
That's an approximate guess. Hi, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And what you've reached is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Apathetic Enthusiasm is a partnership between myself and Travis where we discuss our lives together, our joys, our hobbies, our friendship, and everything in between. That's right. Apathetic Enthusiasm. I'm the apathetic, he's the enthusiasm, and we're here to bring you something right there in the middle.
I feel like that's completely opposite of our true personalities that we bring to this show. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, let me gear up. And you're like, hey, let me be really excited about things.
Okay, well, let's switch it up. Let's switch it up for this episode.
Let's switch. Just be ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Travis.
Thank you. Finally on my level with these things.
Hi, you've reached We Have Concerns, the Apathetic Enthusiasm podcast.
That is a deep pull into the recesses of our history. And if you want to get a deep pull in the recesses of our history, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Email us apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com or go to Instagram apathetic_enthusiasm. You can also go to our website apatheticenthusiasm.com. You want video versions of the podcast? Oh man, we got them for you. Head over to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can see video versions of all of our podcasts. And then if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big thanks to all the patrons who keep the lights on. And by lights, I specifically mean the ring light. That's it. The rest of the lights, that's on me. But yeah.
A lot of people, they, you don't know how much a ring light costs to operate. Unless you're in the podcasting space like we are, you just don't know. You just don't know. People say like, oh, car charging, from the house. Oh, that's a lot of money. That's a power bill. But no, you buy yourself a ring light. They're not that expensive. Actually, they're pretty cheap.
Yeah. If you like it, then you should have put a ring light on it. I think the way that it goes.
So, I don't know. That's how you do the dance. Yeah. Thanks, Travis.
We are the wrong people to be doing that dance. All right. Sports talk time.
Woo!
As we were getting set up, Brandon was very fixated on what Bob Carroll will be happy that we're talking about. Baseball finals. That's right. He's super excited about the Los Angeles Dodgers continuing to compete in the, what is it, National League Series? Is that?
Yeah, I know that's right, Travis. Ask me trivia questions about.
Tell me about baseball, Brandon.
Well,
I'll be scrolling on my phone for a while.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk a little bit about Dodgers baseball, Travis. I got asked a question earlier today. It said like, is Travis a, you know, like is Travis a Dodgers fan? And I was like, I don't know if Travis is actually too much of a baseball fan, really. But if he were a fan, he'd be a Padres fan, which I know that about you.
Who asked if I was a Dodgers fan?
My friend Justin at work.
Oh, not Justin.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Justin.
Justin.
You know me.
Come on, Justin.
You know.
Justin.
I'm Mr. San Diego.
Yeah.
Mr. San Diego Superchargers, San Diego Padres.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're
Clippers can get right out.
You're a San Diego boy. That's right. Yeah. Santee, yeah. Clan T, as they say.
I really don't like that you said that. Somebody told you that, right? Somebody like told you that was a slur for my hometown.
Yeah. I forget who it was.
But it wasn't me.
It wasn't
the thing.
It wasn't you. It was somebody else who said it. Somebody who like knows of. It was my friend. It was my friend Jason.
Jason. Come on, Jason. Yeah. You know me.
Santee. So
I will say, in as far as cities in San Diego County, the suburban area that I'm from is maybe a little bit more right leaning. Mm-hmm. Than the rest of San Diego County, but you know, we all grow up and
move on
and when you know better, you do better. It's a very bright blue sweatshirt I'm wearing.
So you're a Padres mm-hmm. fan. How did they do baseball this year?
They were eliminated in the play-in series for the playoffs.
Oh,
by the Cubs, I believe.
Damn. So you guys made the playoffs normally.
Only slightly. Okay. Only slightly.
All right. Yeah. You weren't like a wild card team that got in and had to fight their way up.
I mean, you know, Brandon, no. Like we. we lost our like in our like little two game series or whatever it was. I wasn't paying that. So here's the extent of my baseball following.
Yeah.
I have the Padres set as a favorite team on the ESPN app and on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime they play a game, I get the little pop up on my lock screen that tells me what the score is. And so every time I look at my phone, I'm like, hey, look at that. Padres are winning, or oh man, Padres aren't winning. And then around like September, usually like mid September, I'll go, I wonder what the Padres record is. And then I'll look that up and I'll go, oh, we might have a shot at the playoffs. And then if they're in the playoffs, I will follow that slightly more.
Mm-hmm.
If we make it to like the second round, I'll probably start watching games. up until the point when they're eliminated, and then I will usually stop. And they were eliminated very quickly this time. So quickly, I didn't even have a chance to watch any of the games. I saw highlights on the TV at the gym while I was, you know, on the stepper or something. But yeah, that's it. That's about all the baseball I can take.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think I'm right there with you, right? I'm not a regular season baseball fan. Hell, I'm barely a playoff season baseball fan. But you know what? Everybody that lives in LA is a Dodgers fan.
It's hard not to be when your team has won the championship like twice in the last 3 years or something. Is that right?
Yeah, but even before then, it would be like Dodgers bleed blue. Oh, blah 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 blah. Dodgers. Hey, you're bleed blue. Good job with your sweatshirt. And
but the problem is this isn't a Dodgers shirt. This is an Oklahoma City Thunder shirt.
Yeah, and they've won a championship recently.
The reigning National Basketball Association champion, Oklahoma City Thunder.
They won last year.
They're looking to repeat. They're looking to, and here's the thing about this specific time of year, baseball is still going on. Football is weeks into the season. And we're already into preseason basketball. We're less than, I think, two weeks away, maybe like a week away from the regular season of NBA basketball. So it's like October is just this whirlwind of like hockey, I think, happens as well. Not that anybody actually watches that or follows it or cares, but I'm pretty sure that that's still a thing. Mind you, that's the only sport I played growing up as an adolescent was hockey, but yeah, nobody cares about it.
Street hockey doesn't count.
Yeah, but it's hockey now.
Street hockey doesn't count.
I don't think they play it. I think they play hockey on the roof of the Quick Stop, and that's about it.
Entire
episode is just Bob Carroll Easter eggs.
Here's what I'll say about basketball. You know, I'm starting to like baseball more than basketball. And here's why. It's because
you're in LA.
No. It's because I don't have to pay attention to it. Like if I go to a game or it's like in the background, I don't have to pay attention to it at all because it's so fucking slow that I could just do whatever I'm going to do normally. And it's on in the background and then, oh, it's going to be done eventually. Right. And then I wait till like the ninth inning. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do it.
I think that's why the most I ever get to following it is having the alerts on my phone, is because that is almost the exact same experience as just watching baseball. It's about as fast a pace as, mm-hmm. Oh, did they hit a thing? All right. I'm kind of crapping on baseball a little bit here. There's an excitement to it. I love going to baseball games in person. I enjoy the atmosphere. I have fun watching baseball in person, but like you said, it is so slow for me to like commit time to watching baseball on TV. If it's not like playoff baseball, plus there's so many games, it's such a long season. It's really tough. Whereas basketball, yeah, there's more action. Like there's less game stoppage for the most part. It has its moments. And then free throws happen and the game slows down. But for the majority of the game, like you kind of have to pay attention.
Yeah.
To see what's happening.
Yeah. And I don't want to.
You don't want to pay attention.
I don't want to pay attention. I have other things to pay attention to that are not sports. So I just like having it kind of in the background. So Dodgers baseball, right? Yeah, like sorry about the Padres. I wish they would have made it further.
I don't really think you are, but okay. I'll accept it.
I wish they would have made it further. My friends joke that our rival is the Giants, the San Francisco Giants. But we're the Dodgers are the Padres' rivals. So like
it is.
Like the Dodgers don't care about the Padres, but the Padres care about the Dodgers. So I thought that was an interesting kind of dichotomy of like, it's like the little brother who like has something to prove, but they're still little.
It's true. Like it's insulting and it hurts me at my core, but it is true. It is true. Like if you ask me who is the San Diego Padres' biggest rival team, without a doubt, I will say the Dodgers. But like, if you've won more championships than another team has ever dreamt about, if you've won more championships than the other team has made it to like the World Series, then you wouldn't be threatened by that team. You wouldn't. Just because they're in the same division as you and only a couple hours south of you, like they're not a threat, right?
Yeah.
Unless their uniforms are brown.
And technically, I think the Padres are closer to LA than LA is to San Francisco.
They are. That is a factual statement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know why we don't hate each other more is basically what I'm getting at.
You and I?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean,
we let sports rivalries dictate our relationship.
Like when the Chargers played the Dolphins this weekend.
The Dolphins? We ready to talk about some NFL sports balls?
Oh man, yeah. Before we move away from baseball, I do want to talk about our actual rivalry, the one that we're so fired up about. I want to I don't know if Bob Carroll listens to Apathetic Enthusiasm anymore, right?
I know for a fact he does. That's why I keep referring
to him. Okay.
He told me this week he was like halfway through our latest episode.
So oh, shit. Like,
oh, he catches the show.
Okay. I wanna put a disclaimer out there. Bob, I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me.
He's had to listen to 15 minutes of you talking about the Dodgers already, and like just steam has been coming out of his ears the entire time.
Fuck, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He was like, because the Dodgers beat the Phillies.
Yeah, they did. And we all knew they were going to.
Look, I wanted the Dodgers to beat the Phillies, not because I have anything against the Phillies, but because I wanted to feel like, sorry, Bob, my team won and yours didn't. But I didn't want to rub that in because I know how that hurts. Even more so, I know that I'm not a huge fan of baseball. And Bob is an enormous fan of baseball. And he fucking hates that. When the Phillies lose anything, he's the one who got me in the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's how much he loves that city.
He is a Philly sports maniac. He's like a Philly fanatic. And I for one wanted the Phillies to win, one because of my deep loathing and hatred for the Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously, but also because I might have actually been at a Thunder preseason game using Bob's tickets, and I got to stay on that guy's good side. So go Phillies. We'll get them next year. Bob, thanks for the tickets. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And it's really hot in here. So I'm wearing a hoodie, but I need to take it off. So you talk about Dolphins, Chargers.
Okay. Well, no, before I get into the Dolphins and Chargers, we'll segue into football.
You're
going to
talk more about the Dodgers, then I'm just going to take a break. I'll see.
No, we're not talking about the Dodgers. Although, yes, the Dodgers did win. And Bob made fun of me because he's like, when you go to like more than one game, more than two games, then you can actually brag about it, which I will. I'm trying to go to a game on Friday, maybe. Dodgers game versus the Brewers this Friday. So hopefully I can do that. But the other really painful thing that happened to Bob on that night wasn't just the Phillies losing, but the Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Giants. And I prefer the Eagles. I would rather the Eagles have won. But
put it on record, you would prefer that.
But I do really like that Cam Scatabo. what a fucking kook that guy is, man. He's like a shorter, dumber Gronkowski.
Got the hot sports takes here for sure.
Anyway,
yeah. Did you draft him on your fantasy team?
I did. I'm in both of my leagues. Yeah.
You're a pro. You're a pro. You saw it beforehand. You knew what was coming. Were you playing Bob in fantasy as well?
No, this week I'm playing Clay. Dallas, right? It's Dallas.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Which, now that I think about it, we've spent so much time talking about Bob. I think I need to make him the thumbnail for the episode this week.
The Bobcast.
Yeah, I need to find a picture of Bob and make it the thumbnail. I have him. I have him on my phone.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right.
Good.
All right.
Okay. All right. Yes. So Dodgers, you're gonna go to a Dodgers game, hopefully, maybe.
I am gonna maybe Friday, but definitely Penn and Teller on Saturday.
Definitely. Definitely. We already saw Penn and Teller at that hotel in San Diego.
Yes, we did. That's right.
That we had lunch at.
After the show, right? In Vegas, after the show, like you can go up to him and talk to him. This time I'm going to go up to him and say, do you remember seeing me at that hotel at Comic-Con this last year? I said hi. Yeah. Well, I didn't. I meant to, but I figured you would recognize me.
But from across the restaurant, you probably noticed us, right?
Teller's Teller is way taller than you think he is. Penn Jillette is huge. Teller is tall too.
They're tall stature.
Yeah, quit distracting us, Travis.
You've avoided the conversation long enough.
Yeah.
Let's talk Chargers, Dolphins. And really the reason I bring it up is because I was super busy playing a card tournament and didn't watch almost any of the games. So I just need you to tell me how it went.
Because TV here in California, it's Chargers town. I couldn't watch the game. It wasn't on Red Zone because, you know, the whole.
You couldn't watch it like on the local channel. It should have been on the local channel.
I don't have local television. You want me to buy an antenna so I could watch commercials and some Sinclair sponsored TV broadcast?
Yes, I do. That's the reason I have antennas.
No, in my house.
This is for sports. Sports almost exclusively. That and I guess severe weather.
Yeah. So I didn't watch it, but I was like keeping track of it. No, I switched to Sirius XM. I was listening to it. So the game started. Dolphins were up. They were up like 13-3 or something. I don't know. Whatever. They were up for a while. Yeah. In the first half, like, and you said like, oh, Dolphins are cooking. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I wasn't listening at that point in time. And so then I got to the half. I'm like, okay, they're winning. Then the second half started, and then San Diego caught up, passed them up, got what's like 26 points or something like that. Whatever.
I think it was like 20.
Okay.
And then the Dolphins in the fourth quarter scored a very late, very wide open touchdown with less than a minute left in the game, or like a minute and 20 left in the game.
I think it was like 38 seconds or something like that. And so the Dolphins were up a point less than a minute to go. And all the defense had to do was contain people so they do not go to where they can kick a field goal. That's all they had to do.
Stay out of Dicker range. That is as in Cameron Dicker.
Yes.
Kicker for the Los Angeles.
Cameron Dicker, the kicker. And what do the Dolphins defense do? They try to sack Herbert, and they try to sack him once. They try to sack him twice. And then he throws the ball to a tight end, maybe, who then runs.
Ladd McConkey. Our second year wideout,
who runs to the 30-yard line or something like that.
Yeah, he pulls a quick move on the defender, breaks his ankles, and then proceeds to run for an additional like 25 yards or something like that. Gets a great block from a fellow Charger, and then wisely runs out of bounds with about 20 seconds left on the clock,
which
arguably might have been able to make a move for the end zone, but smartly got them within field goal range.
Here's the thing. He could have tried still. He could have tried still because San Diego still had a timeout, because when the Dolphins scored the touchdown, right before they scored the touchdown, instead of like going down, the guy went out of bounds, giving the Chargers more time on the clock. Okay. McConkey gets up there. Dicker, the kicker, kicks the ball. Field goal. Now the Chargers are up two. Okay. There's 5 seconds left on the clock. What can the Dolphins do but throw a Hail Mary, hope for a pass interference, and then kick a field goal, right? That's what you can try to do, maybe. And so what Tua does, which is the right thing to do, is throws it like 6 yards up the field directly into a defender's hands. And the defender was like, you know what? I don't want to be an asshole about this. I can do a pick six right now, but instead I'm just going to run out of bounds because sportsmanship. And then Tua runs off the field. He's like, oops. Fucking fire them all. I don't care. I don't care, man.
There's one thing I know about Dolphins fans right now is all of you are ready to burn the whole thing down. like tank. Let's get a good draft pick. Let's fire the GM and potentially everybody else involved with the team. Start from ground zero. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It's hard.
I
mean, it's hard. It's hard, Travis. It's hard because I like Mike McDaniel. I think he is a talented offensive coordinator. He's probably not the
best.
And
that's just because he looks exactly like
him. He's probably not the best head coach, but I think he's a talented schemer when it comes to play design. I think he did what he could do with the team that he had and the talent that he had. But, you know, it sucks. It sucks for him. He needs to get fired too. Yeah, he's had 3 years. And in those 3 years, the first year was like, oh my God, okay, this is going to be good. This is a change. Second year, Tua getting a concussion, our backup quarterback, it was like, okay, nope, this isn't, we made it to the wild card again. Oh, we lost. Great, cool. And then this year started with just absolute shit. I'm like, you can't regress that badly over 3 years and then be like, no, I'll give you some grace. Maybe one more year you'll do it.
Maybe they'll sort it out soon. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So fire Greer, fire McDaniel, fire the defensive coordinator, Weaver, who, come on, like the Dolphins have made like rookie, like shitty running backs look like gods over the last couple weeks. Like my favorite meme that I've seen is you've seen this meme for other things too, but it's a Spirit Halloween costume bag and it says the Dolphins defense and there's nothing in it. that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. But anyways, how are your Chargers?
I'm sorry. The Chargers won a game they should have won. And that's about it. They are not winning. It's weird because they were winning game. Oh, look at that. Look at that pin. I got a pin this weekend too. I'll show you in a minute. They've won games that they weren't expected to win. They've lost games that they were expected to win. So it's just like they're not consistent and they're not having the dominant performances that you hope to see out of a team that's on top of their division.
Yeah.
So while I am encouraged that they are at the top of the AFC West, looking at their upcoming schedule, they have the Colts, which is going to be tough, and then Vikings, Titans, Steelers. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Games.
But hopefully they can iron out some kinks and keep some folks healthy.
They have to win the games that they're supposed to win, especially in at home games, losing to the Commanders at home. Like, oh, come on, man. Come on.
That was a tough one. Losing to the Giants, which, you know, they had a quarterback change that week and
Scataboo.
Scatman. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. Typically, the Chargers do really well and then like in a game and then lose at the last minute. And I think they've taken that strategy and applied it to the season at large. So, you know, win some games up front and then lose really badly towards the end of the season, miss the playoffs. So, yeah.
I mean, you guys,
we have to look forward to.
You guys tried with the Dolphins. You tried to do that. But the Dolphins are like, no, you want a joke? You want a joke of a team? Don't even try this, Herbert. We got you.
I'll show you a joke of a team. Well, I'm sorry your team lost, but only as sorry as I am that my team won. And excited that we are still with a winning record at the top of our division. I didn't watch any football, though, which is not only evident by how poorly I'm doing in fantasy this year, but also because I was playing cards. It is the Boop Boop Doop Lorcana Minute.
Woo!
Yeah, it is. We are in the month of October, which is set champs, the end of the fabled set. Oh, more rounding the bases. Here we go. Or Swiffle Boys, for those that know. If you know, you know. But yeah, so because of scheduling and the stores in the local area, the weekends that they have set up their set champs tournaments, I'm going out of town next weekend, so I can't play two of the store tournaments. So I was like, all right, we're going to play two this last weekend. Maybe we can catch one in 2 weeks, but yeah, the theme for this one is Maleficent, the Maleficent Dragon, and the prizing is really cool. It's the same prizing it always ever is. It's a fancy looking card and a playmat. Top player gets the playmat, top eight walk away with a card. And in the two tournaments I played in, I walked away with two of the fancy dragon cards.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
I went undefeated on Saturday in the first four rounds. Did not lose a single game in any of the best of threes that I played. Just felt really good playing against what we would call mirror matches, people that have the same color combination as me in their deck, and just kind of getting the right hands, putting the right combos together. Won my first three rounds and then did an intentional draw to tie in round four, which gave me a little bit of a break and guaranteed me a spot in the top four. There were only 12 people there that day, so we cut to a top four, and then the top four played single elimination then to see who would win the tournament overall. In my top four match, played against a guy that I get along with really well, and he just kicked my butt. Just straight kicked it. But he went on to win the whole thing, so I was super excited for him. Congrats. You eliminated me, but you won it all. Good job. Next day, 22 people, 10
oh
more people
God.
Showed up. quite a few. A lot of the really competitive people in the area all showing up to the store. So I knew it was going to be tough competition. Round one, I lost the first game, won the second game, went to a game three, and I had like all these characters out. I had the game won on the next turn. If they didn't have the perfect answer, it was mine to win. And off the top of their deck, they pulled a card that essentially eliminated every card on my side of the board, sent it to the bottom of my deck. And so I was like, well, that's really unfortunate, but I'm only 2 points away from winning. And from the top of my deck, I pull a card that will get me 2 points on the following turn. So I play that card and I'm like, haha, now they have to eliminate a readied character. They need like another perfect card to do this. Sure enough, off the top of their deck, they pull another perfect card that removes that character. So it was just like really like the heart of the cards situation where it's like, well, I am not meant to win this round. That's fine. And that particular player, she played really well and went completely undefeated into the top cut as well. So she beat me, then she beat my son Caleb, and then she beat like a couple other people, just playing really well. So lost my first round. Second round, I played a whole lot better. Played against an opponent who had a similar strategy to me. And as soon as I figured that out, I just like raced to win the game as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And I think in the second game, I won on turn four, which is like super, super fast, super fast. So then I was 1-1 and I was like, all right, doing a little bit better. Third round, played against a really good player. And won the dice roll, which meant I got to go first. And I think that just really helped me. But I ended up winning that in two games. So I went first the first game. He went first the second game. And I still won the second game. So my confidence was growing. And then I played against a competitor in round four who my deck is specifically built to beat her type of deck. And she hates it. When I beat her on Saturday, she was very angry, very upset, got up in a huff, packed up all of her stuff and stormed off. And then when I was paired against her the next day, I was like, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to beat her again and she's going to be even more mad, or she's going to figure out a way to beat me and it'll all water under the bridge or something. Well, I won that round as well. She was really ticked off about it. It was fine. She's just hyper competitive hates losing, which has been true as long as I've known her in this competitive scene. Anyway, ended up, that was enough for me to make it into the top eight because there was 22 players. I made it in the top eight, guaranteeing another promo card, and then lost my first game in Top Cut. Again, that player that eliminated me went on to win the tournament. So there you go. That's it.
There you go.
It's always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
It's either that the people you're playing in those Top Cuts are just you're unlucky with the people that you are getting matched with, and you're losing to just like the best players that are there, or you're basically like the gatekeeper for champions, and so they're like, we probably wouldn't have made it if we played anybody else, but we played you, and that gave us the confidence to succeed.
So easy that we were able to go on and win it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like yesterday, my deck that I'm playing, it's amber steel, it's yellow and like gray are the colors, but it's really like a lot of low cost characters that gain points quickly, so it's kind of like an aggressive deck. You try to win really fast, and there's the most popular decks in the game right now, they take time to set up, and then they have like really strong, like top end, like they have high cost characters that are really good. So my goal when I'm playing is to like play really aggressively, get a lot of stuff out quickly, and try to close out the game before they can get to their really good stuff that's going to knock out my board and lock me out from winning, right? I am not the only person utilizing the strategy. I think there were 5 Amber Steel players yesterday out of the 22. 3 of them made top 8, and 2 of them, basically the 2 that weren't me, were the top 2 to play for the championship. So, like, it's an effective strategy. Not a lot of people like it. I don't particularly like it. I want to take the deck apart and play something different. But it is effective. It does work. And it was just a situation in the game that I was eliminated in, my opponent won or had the higher seed in that case, and so he got to go first. Huge advantage, especially in the mirror match between the two of us, because if you get to go first, you have the first opportunity to get to that 20-point mark, right? Especially if we can't deal with each other's boards effectively.
Right.
And yeah, it was that third game, he was going first because he won the first game. I won the second. He got to go first. And this is getting really technical, but there are cards in the game that you can turn into your resources. You can ink them. That is your resources that you can play with. And then there are cards that are not inkable. You can't turn them into resources. And my starting hand, the 7 cards in my hand, 6 of them were uninkable. 1 of them was inkable. So I was forced to ink that card so that I could play anything. And I played a 1-cost character. the next card that I drew also uninkable. So I basically missed adding a resource, which severely limited my options on what I could play out of my hand. And I pretty much knew from that point, I was like, it will take a miracle for me to recover from this. And yeah, sure enough, I did not. But overall, had a lot of fun, was very excited to still feel like I performed pretty well overall. And I maybe will play in one more before the end of this set. And that's your Lorikana, all right. 20 minutes. Lots of fun.
That's cool, man. That's cool. It's fun. It's fun listening to you talk about this stuff. Is there any other place we can listen to you talk about Lorikana?
No, because I haven't actually recorded anything for Inkplay Pass in like 2 weeks. I really want to, and I've had 4 days off, so it feels like I should have had plenty of time to do so. I'm reassessing how I want to construct that content, which leads me into something that I did today, and it's something I'm really not proud of. It's something
Columbus Day celebration.
I did something today that I didn't think I would ever do again in my life. And that is I re-downloaded the app X.
Travis. Come on, man. Come on. There only one of us needs to sacrifice themselves for that cesspit.
So here's the thing, is there are a lot of players, there are a lot of competitive players, there are a lot of
cesspool
casters and
not cesspit.
Lots of cesspool people in the Disney Lorikana circles that are on Twitter. Like it is where a lot of people connect and get information and share their experiences and things like that. So I created a Twitter specifically for Inkplay Pass, separate from any other Twitter I've had before. I am curating the feed to be Lorikana exclusive. The only account that I follow with Inkplay Pass that is not tied one-to-one to something Lorikana is our Rick and Morty podcast. And that's it. I created it today. I had Twitter for almost 20 years. Like that, like I was on that app before apps existed.
Yeah.
And I used it almost not at all in the last 10 years. So I don't know if I will use it much, but yeah, it's something I'm not proud of. But because we come on here and we share all of our deepest, darkest secrets on Apathetic Enthusiasm, I felt like I should confess that. In a moment of weakness today, I created a Twitter account.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you, my friend. I'm disappointed. Geez.
That makes two of us. I mean, really,
I don't really know how to respond to that. Other than to say that the Dodgers are 1-0 against the Milwaukee Brewers right now at the top of the sixth. You know what's weird?
Nobody cares. Nobody that listens to this cares.
You know what's weird to me about baseball? This is the strangest thing to me about baseball is that the top of the sixth is like the first part of the inning and the bottom of the sixth is the second part of the inning, but like it's going up. It's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? The innings are going up. So why would you go in reverse? Be like, it's the top of the first to the bottom. And then all of a sudden you're like skipping to the top of the second. It should be like bottom, top, bottom, top, bottom, top, bottom, top. That's the way it should be. And that's my biggest problem with baseball.
I feel like Bob is screaming into his headphones right now, like Like, he knows the answer to this. He knows why it starts with the bottom or the top. It starts with the top. See, like, even I got it wrong.
See? Because it's not fucking right. It's like if you start reading from right to left, you're like, that's not how you read unless it's the Torah, right? Like,
but you do read from top to bottom.
Yes, sure.
My inkling, my theory is it has to do something with scoring baseball, because they have those complicated like scorecards that they put on the back of the programs. And I think maybe you go from the top to the bottom of the scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
That is a BS theory.
It makes sense. Like the scorecard in the back of the stadium, like it's like, oh, the Dodgers are at the top, right? So it's like the top of the first. Then the bottom of the first would be the Brewers, right? And then so on and so forth. But if you're listening to it like on the radio or on TV, like it's just top of the first. Like, okay, cool. Well, we're almost into the second inning. No, we're not. No, the game just started. Anyway.
Yeah. Old baseball. Also, that conversation is more than I needed to know about the Dodgers game at all. So I appreciate it. I want to talk. We're going to get away from sports and away from all sorts of competition, trading card included. It is October.
It is
the month of spookiness.
Ooh.
Spooktober, ghosts and ghouls. And are you doing any, I don't know, blogs about horror movies or anything this month, Brandon?
No, not this year. Not this year. We did that a couple years ago. Me and Kevin. Nothing this year. We did watch Shaun of the Dead this last week for a episode of Our Real Relationships, but we haven't recorded it yet. Trying to watch Treehouse of Horror, trying to keep up on that. Chelsea and I watched Donnie Darko the other day, and that movie takes place throughout the entire month of October. I put all my Killer Clowns animatronics out in the front yard. So
do you have that giant Gremlins one too?
I do. Yeah, the Spike. He's out there.
Man, I want you to take a picture of your front yard and send it to me.
Oh yeah, like, I got everything out there, just the animatronics, and I was like, that's good enough. And like I hit a wall because I was also doing like other chores that day. So I'm like, this is good enough. It's good enough. I didn't plug them in either. I just like, fuck it. This is good.
you just put them out there. Yeah. All right. That's fine. I was thinking about scary movies. There's some scary movies that I want to check out this month. But I was scrolling through videos on my phone, and I saw somebody that was like a film studies type of account that was analyzing the movie Psycho and talking about how Hitchcock used different effects, how I think it was a video about how Psycho is the reason that movies are at scheduled times now. Like when you go to a movie theater and you go see the 7 o'clock showing or you go to a 9:30 showing, prior to the movie Psycho, theaters would just play movies on a loop and they would just be playing constantly over and over again in the theater. And you would just go and buy your ticket and go in at whatever time it was, regardless of what point it was in the movie. And then so you would just start watching it. It's kind of like how you would watch movies on like TNT or the USA Network.
Yeah.
You would just flip through channels and you might be like a third of the way into Empire Strikes Back, but you're like, it's Empire, so let's watch it. And then, you know, or a better example would be TNT in December in the early 2000s, where they would just play A Christmas Story over and over again. And so you would just turn it on and you'd like be in the like the middle where Ralphie is like asking for his Red Ryder BB gun, but you miss the whole beginning of the movie or something like that. So anyway, Alfred Hitchcock, because of the way Psycho is and the plot and the way that the movie builds suspense and the twists, including, you know, having one main character at the beginning and that may or may not appear towards the end of the film and stuff like that. He wanted, he didn't want things to be spoiled. He wanted people to experience the movie from beginning to end. So he basically lobbied all these movie theaters, like, once the movie starts, don't let people in. Mm. They have to come and watch it at the beginning. There was like a whole campaign to like make sure that people understood they had to be there at a certain time. And that effectively changed the way movie theaters operated after Psycho, because people, it was more effective. Like really, it kept people in at a certain time and things like that. So anyway, I was watching these videos, and I sent a couple of them to my oldest daughter, Allie, who is 17. So one of them was like talking about that, but then it talked about some of like the details of the movie. And at the beginning of the video, they're like, yeah, there's a spoiler for it. So if you haven't seen Psycho, like, she's like, oh, I haven't seen Psycho. Like, should I watch this video that you sent me, Dad? And I was like, no, you should definitely not.
I want to see.
We should watch Psycho.
Yeah.
So the other night, we turned on Psycho, and like one of the things I love about Allie is like, she's not really into it at the beginning. She's like, okay, she's not put off by older movies. Like she likes older movies. But she's like, okay, like what is it about? Who is this couple? What's going on? Why is the music like that? Is that Alfred Hitchcock? No, Alfred Hitchcock isn't actually in the movie. He's the director of the movie. But like by like the middle and into the end, she's like in it. She's like coming up with theories and like, and me and Sheena, obviously, like we've seen the movie. So we're like actively not giving anything away. And it was such a fun experience for her to get to like the final twist at the end of that movie and not have picked up on it and like not figured it out and have that like, it is the reason I love not spoiling things.
Yes.
It is the reason I hate spoilers, and because to go for the ride that Alfred Hitchcock 80 years ago set in motion, right? And for her to experience that now in 2025, so fun to watch. And just still a great movie. Like it still holds up.
Even, it does, yeah. Like,
you know, so far from its original inception. That was super fun to watch.
Has she seen Sixth Sense?
No, I don't think so.
That might be a
does that have a twist? Does that have a twist?
No. Nope. It's pretty straightforward ghost story. Shyamalan, known for his straightforward movies,
yep.
No twists.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe that can be one that we watch. I discovered that many of the early Friday the 13th movies are streaming on Peacock this month.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to watch at least one, if not a couple of those.
Okay.
Before Halloween.
So you watch the first one. Jason is not the main killer in that one. Okay. So just
spoilers.
I'm not telling you who it is. Wait, do you know who it is?
No.
Oh, you
I know it's not Jason. I know it's not Jason.
You really don't. Yeah, you don't even meet Jason in the first one.
I don't know anything about these. I know
okay. Camp
Crystal Lake.
Okay.
Because you made me go to that panel with you at Comic-Con.
That's right. Oh, by the way, the side note.
And because of Spirit Halloween merchandise.
Angry Orchard. Angry Orchard X Jason. I went to Stater Brothers, which is a supermarket out here in California. There was a Jason X Angry Orchard display in Stater Brothers. I'm like, holy shit, that's kind of cool. anyway,
are you still going to that event in upstate New York?
Yeah, the one that passed a month and a half ago.
Oh, did that already happen?
Yeah, it's over now.
I'm looking at the front of your house right now in a picture that you sent me. This is solid.
Yeah.
Solid stuff.
What I want to do is go to Lowe's and get...
Did you make that balloon animal or is that a...
No, that's part of the animatronic. Yeah, you plug it in and it goes... Arr, 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 arr. What I want to do is get some like little stake lights and put those out there and get some
kind of light them up.
Light them up a little bit. Yeah. Light them up a little bit.
Maybe that'll be the thumbnail for this week's episode with your address clearly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about today, Travis, is I think last time we talked, I talked about, wiring my house with Ethernet, which I have not finished yet.
Welcome to the IT Minute with Brandon.
Brandon does IT stuff? Minute. Putting Ethernet through my house. Here's the thing. I have a bunch of DVDs and Blu-rays, right? Like 4 or 5 bins worth of Blu-rays and DVDs. And Chelsea's been like, it's taking up so much space. We got to get rid of them. Like, let's just get rid of them. I'm like, no. These are ours. We bought this. These are ours. And so I was like, okay, everybody has Plex servers. They've got their NASs, network attached storage devices. I'm like, all right, Brandon, you've been in IT long enough. Why haven't you done any of this shit ever? And so I started looking up some NASs and like, okay, I found a four bay NAS. I was like, the hard drives are the thing that are the most expensive things. It's like 8 terabytes is like $200. And so like, okay, start with that, get a Blu-ray burner and then, you know, start backing up my movies. I did that this weekend and it's just like slowly but surely getting my Plex server up and like uploading, backing it up. And that it's like, it's such a slow process, but it's so cool. Like looking at Plex now and being like, oh, there's Alien 1, Aliens, Alien 3, like obviously going in order of alphabetical.
How long does it take to rip one of your physical copies?
About 5 to 10 minutes.
And
that's for the ISO. That's to burn the ISO because I want to keep all the special features on it too. So, sure. So then I take the ISO and then I use a different app to then extract the MKV of just the movie with subtitles and stuff like that. And that takes another like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. And is this a standalone system or is this through your computer?
It's for my Mac. So I burn the stuff through my Mac, do all the processing on the Mac. And then that transfers the file over to the NAS.
NAS. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then the NAS attached to Ethernet. And that's where I can access it. My TV, my phone, my computer, a little bit of everything.
I can't tell you how long I have wanted to do this. how jealous I am that you've started this process. I also have a ton of physical media, so many DVDs, so much stuff that we don't watch anymore because I don't think there's a single I guess my PlayStation 5 is a Blu-ray player, so that is hooked up to a TV in my house. But yeah, so much stuff that either you can't stream or you can't find copies of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a NAS. I should get one. But it is a bit of a commitment to set it up and pay for one and stuff.
Especially
if I don't ever, you know, get paid again. but like I'm happy for you that this is happening. I'm excited for you to complete it. And maybe at some point down the line, I will join you in building the home network media server, because it would be awesome.
Yeah,
it'd be so great to have.
But yeah. the first movie I tested out to see if I can burn it, and then you know, guess what movie?
Grandma's Boy.
And that's our show, everybody. Travis, who knows I love Grandma's Boy, I'm going to go watch it right now. No, but it is a comedy movie. It starts with a B.
Caddyshack.
Black Dynamite. That was the first, movie I did. And then I was like, watch on my phone, like, Dynamite. Like, yeah, I got it. And I was like, this movie's so fucking good.
All right. Well, I mean, congrats. I'm glad it's working. That's awesome. Like, genuinely, I'm so happy for you. I'm only a little bit jealous. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I think
that's it, man.
That is an hour long conversation between me and my best friend. So
yeah.
That is apathetic enthusiasm. Thank you for joining us, Bob. This episode is dedicated to you.
Yeah.
I really am going to use your face as the thumbnail. And if you want to ask questions, be part of the show, all those things, leave a comment on the YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
While you're there, don't forget to like, subscribe, do all of those things.
That's right.
Or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Great way to get in touch with us. We are going to scurry off to do our Swiffle Boys podcast. This
Woo!
Is a fantasy football only podcast, only for the people in our fantasy league. I'm willing to bet we talk less about sports during that podcast than we did in this podcast.
Well,
prediction.
With an hour out of the way, I believe that is true.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you for listening to Apathetic Enthusiasm, an exploration of friendship.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.